B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Another strike. Pitch number 107.
I mean, this should be a standing ovation right here.
Well, they're standing right now.
Bounce around.
Nice little punch out here as he heads back to the dugout.
He got him. Number 17 for Chris Sale.
Chris Sale last night looked the best that he has looked at any point this year. And it was noticeable right out of the gate. I was working last night at NBC Sports Boston doing early edition.
I see you grinding.
And I watched the first two innings in between segments. And right out of the gate, I was like, oh my God, he looks fabulous.
You know what the best thing about last night is?
And he struck out 14 his last time out, right? So he looked good his last time out. But right out of the gate, I'm like, wow, he looks good tonight. He looks like he's got it. He's feeling it early here.
So it's going to be 74 and sunny on Saturday here. See, the best thing about, I think, Chris Sale from last night is the fact that he went out and pitched in those crappy conditions again. Misty, cold, 40-degree rain, and had that type of night that he had locating the way he did. That's big. Because people keep thinking, well, you have to wait until it gets warm for this guy to really be able to cut it loose and look like his old self. Like, people are holding out for the summer months. No. That was crap weather last night. Kudos to you people that sat out in that.
Sadly, taken a big hit with this horrible weather.
I don't blame people for not going.
I don't either.
What, you going to sit there and be frozen? I would. Metal seats? No, thanks.
Sucks. Weather stinks. We've had other stuff going on. We've had Celtics to watch. We've had Bruins to watch.
There's nothing better.
Think about it. If you've got Red Sox tickets, and let's say you're in a position where you didn't pay for them, right? Because that happens. People get given Red Sox tickets. You got them from somebody. Somebody gave them to you.
I got buddies asking. I'm like, whatever. I just can't do it. Can't do it with the grind right now.
Say, you want to go to a Red Sox game?
Can't do it.
And you've got a Bruins playoff game on or a Celtics playoff game that night, and someone's offering you Sox tickets, and it's rainy, misty, 44 degrees, 42 degrees last night. You're like, nah, I'm going to sit home on my couch and watch the Bruins, and I'll flip over and check on the Red Sox. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. So, attendance is taking a big hit. But it was cold, and Sale pitched his best game of the year, as you're saying. So, yeah, I guess that does sort of put that feather right in his hat, too.
And that's check marks, hey, check the books, you know, type. Like, I'll get there.
Okay,
I'm good. I know what I'm doing.
I didn't think that this would be at all controversial that Alex Cora decided at 17 strikeouts for him last night that he was all done. That was it. 108 pitches and 7 complete innings with a lead, a one-run lead. Your night is over. He gave up a home run in that final inning to Nolan Arenado, who, by the way, he booted a couple balls at third base last night, but that guy is good. Holy smokes, is he a great player. You thought that was it. Say, you're not going to keep going, dude. 108 pitches, same number of pitches he had his last time out. He's sort of been building up. I can't believe the great turnaround he has had. I think this entire turnaround is remarkable.
Who's creating the controversy here?
I'm stunned. I'm actually stunned by it. I can't believe how he has gone from where he was a month ago to where he is now. I'm blown away by it.
Yeah, with David Price being out, that's huge. Huge.
Oh, Sandy Leon. Sandy called a great game last night. He gave him credit. Gave him credit, Beetle.
It's unbelievable. If that is what it is.
Well, you tell me what else.
That's sad.
Sandy called a great game.
That's sad.
Sandy brought 5 miles per hour up to him from Pawtucket.
He's got a little boy. He's got expecting a girl on the way.
Tailwind.
Tailwind.
Wife's parents are moving.
Tailwind. So I thought it would not. I thought it's obvious. Like, duh, this is it. Sorry, Sale. I know you have 17 strikeouts and there's 6 outs to go and the major league record being 20, which we are well aware of here in Boston. Roger Clemens did it twice. 86 against the Mariners. What was the other one in Detroit? What year was that? 96?
96, yeah.
96 against Detroit.
Mm.
And then our very own McTakey, Matt McCarthy, tweets out, Screw pitch counts. And by the way, McCarthy, I respect. He's got good baseball takes. He's got the podcast, 98.5thesportshub.com. This is no fool. Screw pitch counts. Have Sale set the freaking record tonight.
No.
I want history, and I don't care how reckless it is.
No. Someone hacked his account.
And I retweet this, and I said, this is stupid.
It is stupid for a baseball guy.
This was a great outing, and his night should end right now.
He's had issues with his arm. He's over 100 pitches. He's at 107, 108. He just gave up two runs. Starting to go, maybe tire a little bit. Is it important to get Chris Sale and save Chris Sale for the end of the year and have him throw his arm out? Or to do what they did in Baltimore to what John Farrell did years ago? You know, I mean, what's more important?
And then I was
winning,
like,
you're not saying screw pitch count. You're saying screw World Series.
Like,
yeah.
And you know what?
You know what? Break the record and so we can sit here and talk about records.
What are we doing?
We talk about inside the park home runs.
What the hell
hitting for
are
the
we
cycle,
doing here?
Which we don't do anymore.
And so there's, it's like, this should be the automatic response no matter who it is. But with Chris Sale, you've got an example. And the example is 2017. We've already been down this road. And in 2017, when John Farrell in Baltimore sent Chris Sale back out onto the mound on September 20th of 2017 to get his 300th strikeout in Baltimore. And I, at the time, said, oh, who cares? Send him back out there. Do it.
I did, too.
When he was over 100 pitches. What's the big deal? What's the big deal is what I said. What's the big deal? Do it. I don't have an issue with John Farrell. You know what I was in 2017, Zoe, and I've admitted it many times since? I was wrong. I was stupid is what I was. I was dead wrong about this.
You were like McTakey.
Yeah, I was dead wrong like McTakey was dead wrong last night. Because after he went out to get that 300th strikeout in Baltimore on September 20th, he came back his next start, his final start of the regular season on September 26th, and he went five innings. He gave up four home runs. He gave up five earned runs. The Red Sox lose. He gets beat up in his final regular season start. And then on October 5th, when he starts in the postseason, his first postseason start of his career, he got shelled. He gave up seven earned runs, three home runs, and he lasted five innings in that game, and the Red Sox got torched. He got absolutely shelled against the Astros. Yep, that's what happened to the Red Sox. That's what happened to Chris Sale.
It was an odd take, even by McTakey standards, to say leave him in and go for the record. For what?
But I thought McTakey was like on an island with that. He wasn't. He was not alone. There were people that were tweeting back to that tweet.
What are you going to do with a record? What are you going to do with a record?
When history, here's
you
one
do stuff
I got.
With rings
when
and
history
trophies.
Is on the line, let's you let him back out there. 20 strikeouts is more than achievable. Sale is a psychopath. I said, yeah, you're wrong. Was Sale a psychopath in 2017? Did Mr. Psychopath show up in his final start of the regular season in 17 and then the playoffs? Oh, I guess he wasn't a psychopath then. Was he a psychopath against Houston when he got beat to hell? How was he down the stretch last year at the end of the season? Did he hold up well? Did he hold up well in the playoffs last year? How were his playoff starts last year? How were those?
Pretty good.
I mean, we're not talking about any pitcher. How was he to start this season? How awful. Was his start this year?
Awful.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy that you've got to sort of go out of your way to protect and make sure you keep him in good shape.
They tried to protect him last year, and it still wasn't enough.
What's
his
contract situation? Anybody know?
Get the record.
How much longer? Are you
just get the record.
How much longer do we have to keep him in good shape here in Boston?
A while.
Oh, okay.
It's a while.
He may have a bonus in that contract if he gets that record.
But what if he got 20 strikeouts? Woo!
Is 20 strikeouts now the same as it was when Clemens did it?
Not even close. No, it's been done four
times. They had 24 strikeouts in 10 innings, and they still lost the game.
Yes,
they
did.
Teams don't care. They don't care about striking out.
They devalued the strikeout yesterday.
The record doesn't even matter anymore. It's don't take away from the accomplishment, but the record doesn't matter that
much.
You
struck out eight innings of baseball yesterday and you lost. So what does that mean?
It's a fun little
you struck out
footnote.
Eight innings.
That's all it is. Oh yeah, and the Red Sox bullpen blows. Still an issue for the Red Sox. We'll get to more on that, but let's get to your calls coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
98.5 The Sports Hub presents Zolak and Bertrand's Who Jacked It?
High fly headed toward the wall and left. That one rising up there. And it escapes and is gone. Rafael Devers goes the opposite way.
Woo. A little Who Jacked It update for you.
Who's got Devers? I forget.
I don't know, but I'm driving to this thing yesterday, and I'm listening to Tony Mazz on the Baseball Reporters. By the way, Mazz crushes on that.
Hardy has.
That's interesting.
Oh, I do.
You've
also got Xander Bogaerts, who's got 7 home runs.
And Jackie Bradley Jr. came in to pinch hit last night. What did he do for me?
Nothing.
Do you know Devers leads the major leagues in average? I didn't realize that.
Do you know what I find?
Mazz said that yesterday.
I didn't realize that you would realize that.
Like, wow. I mean, he got off to like a bad start.
He's really realized that.
I know, but he heard it and retained it, and I'm still impressed.
Well, each of our teams have a player with no home runs.
Mine would be JBJ.
Yeah, Brock Holt, Steve Pierce, and JBJ.
Is Brock Holt still playing with his kid somewhere?
I
honestly
believe still shaking hands.
We should delete the third player from each of our teams.
I'm good with that. What if we deleted our zeros and we're allowed to pick
May 15th.
All-star break.
It's May 15th. We should just delete them.
All-star break.
That's not fair for Hardy. Hardy's third player has got the best by far.
Oh, okay. Okay, have him.
He'll go on a tear and hit 4 in a week.
It's just useless to keep mentioning them.
He'll go on a tear and hit 4 in a week.
All right, well, Zoe's got Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi 7 and 5, respectively. You've got 12 home runs. I've got J.D. Martinez with 8 and Mitch Moreland with 12. Ooh. I've got 20 to this point with the lead. And you've got Xander and Devers 7 and 3. You've got 10. So Hardy's still in third place.
20, 12, and 10.
You know, I feel like the Celtics, like around pick 14, right there, like in the middle. Not great, not good. I'm not in the end. I'm not leading. I'm right there. That's where I want to be.
We were talking before the break about the strikeout record in game not being as valuable now as it was when Clemens did it in '86. I just went on Baseball Reference to look up strikeouts per game in Major League Baseball, the averages. In 1986, the average number of strikeouts in a game was 5.87. The number now is 8.83. It has gone up every year. It increases in baseball.
So I went and looked at this a couple seasons ago.
It just keeps going up. The strikeouts as a stat is not as valuable anymore.
2 years ago, I think when I crunched the numbers on this, strikeouts across the league were up 20% compared to the year 2000. It was like a Pedro discussion. How would Pedro fare now? How would Pedro's numbers stack up in, 2017 Major League Baseball? It'd be unreal. Because guys, like you said before, they don't care about striking out. Home runs or strikeouts. Hell, best example of that was last night with the Rockies. They either struck out or hit home runs. That's it. That's pretty much the way the game is played now across the league.
So if we devalue the strikeout, and they're up like that, does that even accentuate just how bad Jackie Bradley Jr. is, considering how much he strikes out?
I don't devalue the strikeout. It's more
not devalue.
It's more a commentary on
more strikeouts than ever. So a guy who strikes out a lot,
it works reverse.
Yeah, would reflect, I guess, in some way better on the player, not worse.
I took it as strikeout time. Oh yeah, you're right. Strikeouts aren't a big deal.
It's not as big of a deal because there's more of them happening.
There's no shame in it as a hitter.
Shame.
To strike out.
Shame.
Did you hit a home run? No. Oh, you must have struck out.
Yeah, just swing for the fence, man.
That's why a guy like Chavis can play second base right now. Maybe he couldn't have in the 90s. Mm. It's just less opportunity to make an error because there's not as many balls hit.
My kid's in a home run derby this weekend.
Oh, and you're going to have a nice weekend
KP
for
Cup.
It.
I hope so. Nice.
That's
man,
great. Have they nice played it? Looking forward to that.
They haven't played in 4 weeks.
That's
so, I mean,
the KP Cup a lot last year.
He forgets what a bat looks like.
They haven't played any games, but they're going to have a home run derby. Anyone else find it curious when Jackie Bradley Jr. was brought in to pinch hit last night? Were you watching at that point? I think it was. No. It was either during the intermission or it was, I don't know.
I had flipped right back to the Red Sox when that had just happened. Like, did not see the at-bat.
Really? Jackie Bradley Jr. coming in. Now, granted, coming in for Sandy Leone, so I get it.
So what happened in the at-bat? What stood out about it? Just that he had pinch hit?
The fact that they brought him in, here's the guy that we want hitting. We want Jackie Bradley Jr.
It's better than Sandy Leone.
Apparently.
What was available on the bench at that point?
Let me go back and look.
Are you raising your hand?
I have a question.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know we're doing the who jacked it thing here.
Yeah.
Why does the question mark look like wet dog hair?
Why is the question mark in it like a... Like
why does it look like somebody shredded it? It's a good question, right?
It's a question for the graphics people over NBC Sports Boston.
There's a hidden meaning behind that.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it alone, whatever it is that they're doing there.
Why? It stands out.
Why would they do that?
I just looked over him like, why is that? What's that all shabby for?
Looks like it's dripping.
Dripping with what? It's a what?
They're telling me it's meant to look like chalk.
Oh.
Well, it doesn't.
But the other things don't look like chalk.
Yeah, I'd fill it in with paint like everything else.
All right, so what did they have on the bench? Moreland had pinch hit for Pierce, right?
Already.
Okay, and so when you pinch it for Leone, you know that you're going to bring in a catcher in Vasquez. Who else is available? Who else is on the bench? Lynn? Who do they have?
Who was in the bullpen?
That's what I'm asking. I don't think you have great options at that point. I think that's the right option. I think that's the right choice.
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't second guess that one.
Who's the player that pitched earlier in the year? Steve Pierce was a Pierce that pitched.
Plus, don't forget, Jackie Bradley Jr., pinch hit last year?
Nunez.
Playoffs?
Right, Nunez.
I know.
Come on.
He's my guy. Look, I want him to succeed.
That's your guy, man. Isn't that your guy? New swing. Yeah, how's that new swing working out, by the way?
It's a work in progress.
I'm tired of you hearing about the new swing.
Is the new swing worse than the old swing?
It might be.
A little glitch.
At least the old swing got hot every once in a while.
Yeah, he's batting 149. Right now,
he's the worst hitter. Worst hitter in the history of the Boston Red Sox. The history of the Red Sox, he's the worst hitter. That's saying something.
Oh, my God. He's on base is 258.
Hold on. I want to know that on this date last year, what was he doing on May 15th of last year? I'm going to find out right now.
But it was closer to 200.
We're going to find out. I'll tell you right now exactly where he was at last year on this date. May 15th of last year. He was at 167 with an on-base of 263, which means he was, coming out of the game on May 13th, he was batting 171 with an on-base of 263, which means the new swing has made him worse to this point this year than where he was at last year at this point. He did not have did he have a home run at this point last year? He did. He had two home runs from what I can see. To this point last year, he had two home runs, a higher batting average, higher on base. With the old swing, with the new swing, no home runs, lower on base, lower batting average. I don't think it's working out for him. What about you, Zell?
I mean, it's going to be 31, right? Yeah, you usually have the type of patience like this with a 23-year-old player. You know, maybe we're around farm system for a little bit. Yeah, I think we've hit the crescendo here. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get much better.
No?
No, a little glitches in the swing. We've been working on the swing now for 10 years. I try to tell my kids that at some point, like, you beat your head against the wall long enough, you know, you knock that wall down or else you knock yourself out. I think he's closer to knocking himself out.
617-779-0985. Jump on board, grab a line. We can get to your calls coming up. Hardy has our headlines. Get you caught up on everything that happened, including the Celtics and the draft lottery last night. They got three picks in the first round. He'll tell you where they are right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The New York Jets have just fired their general manager, Mike Maccagnan. What a football team they are. What an organization the New York Jets are. I love seeing that team.
I don't know what to say.
Be a complete dumpster fire.
So you're going to
So they let the guy run the draft.
You're going to allow him to run the draft. He gets you your quarterback a year ago. Now, granted, your drafting position helped get you that. But I think you picked the right guy. I like Sam Darnold. You build a young defense. And then you're empowered to go out and sign a $12 million a year running back.
And then you fire him.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if Gase can handle this. I don't know if Gase can handle being a head coach, let alone a GM.
Yeah, they can.
Maccagnan
out. Mm. I like the last line of the statement from Chris Johnson, chairman and CEO of the Jets.
Well, at least that's not Woody.
Is that Woody's brother?
I think it's his son.
Or is it son?
I think it's his son. Woody's getting up there.
I would like to thank Mike for his time and efforts during his tenure, and I wish only the best for him and his wife, Betty.
Betty.
Betty. You don't hear anyone with the name Betty
What's
anymore. That's
now?
A real throwback.
Betty's got to be what? 4'73"? Is it?
No, Woody's not like stepping. Woody had to step aside because he took that ambassador job.
That's a good point.
Woody's an ambassador now.
Let me ask y'all something. How you spell Jets?
Ambassador Woody. Ambassador to the UK, Woody Johnson. No longer can running the football team. Maccagnan out. So you let him run the draft. Did you know that he did not draft a single lineman, offensive lineman, in his time as Jets GM?
Well, I would expect that position group to be really deep, you know. Them, you lose the tackle, good luck. You lose your center, good luck.
He did not draft a single lineman until this year in the fourth round. So he had five drafts.
Patriots picked up their nose tackle.
Five drafts in New York, and he did not draft an offensive lineman until the fourth round of this year's draft. And their offensive line is putrid.
Yeah.
But
it's like Matt Millen at Detroit when he drafted.
Can you imagine any team? I don't think any team in football has ever gone that long. So they went four straight drafts, no offensive lineman drafted, and this year they didn't get one until the fourth round.
Patriots draft one every year.
They draft one every year. They're getting one in there somewhere. Get another one. They just keep drafting them. It's like a constant wave of offensive linemen. They just keep restocking them. They didn't draft one for four straight years, and then they took one in the fourth round.
Oh, you get a young quarterback, you can take a beating.
What a team. I love them. Always fun to poke fun at the Jets. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Jeremy in Maine. Maine, got a Maine caller. Go ahead, Jeremy. Oh, God.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey.
Good. Hey, I got just a quick question for you. We have three first-round picks, right, the Celtics?
Yes.
Like 19, 22, and 24, something like that?
14, 20, and 22.
All right. Where a lot of people are overlooking.
Sure, it's not 17, and I might be, 14, 8.
What's that?
Come on, Zoe.
All right. Anyways, what other people are overlooking is, don't you guys think that Julius Randle or Zion Williams is just like a over-glorified Julius Randle?
He could end up
Wouldn't they play the same position? And I think Julius Randle's a great role player. So how do you guys feel about maybe trading one of those picks, one of those low-round, first-round picks for Julius Randle? Don't you think him and Horford would work well together?
What's Julius Randle worth in a trade right now?
I'm more worried about, are you getting Anthony Davis and is Kyrie Irving staying? Then who are you going to package down low with Al Horford and make a trade and one of those low-round picks to go get
Julius Randle. He's a good player. Take him.
Like yes, the, that's Celtics draft picks are worthless, so yes. I'd say yes to that trade.
But where would that be? Where would that be in your concerns?
Like, what are they? Those picks aren't worth anything. Those picks aren't. That's not. Listen, trying to trade junk picks for something good is not something that's exclusive to Maine.
Well, it's Boston.
That's a Boston thing.
This is what we do here. Yeah, we give up. We give up nothing. We want everything. Because those two picks would make the Celtics roster.
I like Julius Randle when he was coming out. Then he broke his leg, right? Broke the leg, had that setback. But I don't think that the picks are worth anything. I don't think the picks are worth anything in a trade. I don't think they're worth anything with the players they draft. Like, the Celtics are better off drafting players and hoping they hit on something that's a long shot that turns into something. You're better off just picking players there.
Or if they really like one, maybe packaging them up and moving up a couple spots.
Maybe.
You know, if they like the guys that's sitting at 11, maybe they can move up three spots by giving up one of the other ones.
Maybe. Maybe they can do that. There's someone back there whose phone went off. Was that the intern? Was that Harry Styles?
Did Harry Styles' phone go off?
Nice day.
Where'd you go pillow shopping there, pillow boy?
Harry brought the pillow in to present Hardy's scripts this morning.
Hardy's very demanding.
Hardy, he went out pillow shopping this morning.
Hold up that picture, kid. Hold up that. Put the camera.
Do you have the
on
pillow?
Him.
Can you show everyone the pillow back there? He went out and bought a pillow this morning because Hardy has demanded that he present the headline scripts in the morning on a pillow.
Well, they're not scripts. It's just the sponsorship.
Sponsor scripts. Right.
It's pillow for the headline to put scripts on.
Oh, he's look at look at him. Oh. Can't be involved with your reindeer games.
Don't
right
be
now.
Pretending on your phone. Phones are loaded. Nobody can even get in right now.
Styles
pretending to be on a phone. This is like those GMs or those owners that sit on draft day war rooms.
Do us all
get somebody
a favor.
On the phone. Get somebody on the phone.
Get a pair of scissors. Cut that tag off the pillow.
I tell you why he did. He wants to return that pillow.
That's the law.
He had to go buy that.
No, rip it.
Oh, you put a hole in it.
Yep,
you put a hole in it.
You
dumbass. Stick your finger in the hole.
You put a hole in the pillow, didn't you? Yeah, of course you did. That's why I say get a pair of scissors.
Don't bite the pillow.
You think I don't know what I'm talking about? That's why I say get a scissors. You cut it off nicely.
UMass kids, rip it right off.
Of course. Oh, tough guy. Rip the tag off.
You just broke the law on national television.
Now we're going to find out if you know how to sew. Tomorrow, or Friday, you're going to bring a sewing kit in, and Hardy's going to make you sew that pillow back together.
I'll bring some pants in and need
stop him. At CVS in the travel section, in the trial size. Get yourself a travel sewing kit.
And make sure it has some gold thread to match the current color of the pillow.
Remember the little thimbles they put in there so you don't poke your needle?
Did you have to learn how to sew in school and home ec?
Yes, I did.
I never took home ec. I did shop.
I did. It was mandatory.
We had to take
middle
home
school.
Ec too.
Had to learn how to sew a button back onto a shirt.
Had to learn how to make a pillow.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, from a kit.
I built a wood stool that I still have in my house to this day. A wood stool. And that's the best stool that's ever been built.
Oh.
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
That's great.
Built that.
Came known for it, like waiting for Guffman.
Was it ninth or tenth grade? Look at this stool.
Standing some for stool. Sitting, some for standing. Stools.
All right, we got some calls on the board, and it relates to the Red Sox, Zion Williamson, Terry Rozier, and the Bruins last night. Let's try and grab those coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Calm.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bop. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Get back to your calls as promised, including this one from Troy in Dorchester. Hey, Troy.
Yeah.
Hold on, guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
okay, now we're ready.
So Terry Rozier, right?
Yes.
So, earlier when you said that he's like Jackie Bradley Jr., I think that's a little off because Jackie Bradley Jr.'s defense is impeccable. You don't want anybody else playing center field back there.
It's not good enough to where it supersedes. You know, it's good enough to where it makes everything else okay not to play. You know what I mean? To put him at the plate.
But you can't say that about Terry Rozier's game in any facet. There's nothing that you say Terry Rozier brings to the court to have that kind of attitude to say that, you know, he's not coming back to a team. Or
my point was you should have sold high on both. Like, you're getting nothing for Terry Rozier. You could have got something for him. I think George misunderstands my point. I'm like, Jackie Bradley isn't a good enough. He's a great center fielder. We know that. We know the catches he makes. Okay, we don't need to go over the catches and the acrobatic catches. I don't care how good they are. He's not a good enough hitter to play him like as many times as you do. And we're sort of past that point. We're how many years into this now with him? How many years? Then I get Jim in there. He's going to rip off four in a row next week, in a week or so. God, just
yeah, and that'll be turn. Four of six home runs.
Great.
He has on the
year. Get his average.
I'm not saying he's going to be good. When he gets good, he gets good for like 3 weeks, and then he goes back to his slump.
Yeah, I don't want to bank on those type of guys. And Terry Rozier's attitude too late for that, is crap.
So. He's also not the only guy in Major League Baseball making great catches, by the way.
Right. Mass covered that, too, on the baseball porters.
Oh, did he? This is where you get all your baseball info.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What were you talking about, Josh Reddick the other day?
Yes. Yes. And he said the nice thing about Josh Reddick, he actually hits.
Oh, Josh Reddick hits.
He's actually a better player than Jackie Bradley because he can make the same type of catch. He's actually a better catch the other night. Plus, the guy gives you something at the plate.
To borrow a line from Bob Lobel, why can't we get players like that?
He literally saved that game in Baltimore, though, with that catch in extra innings.
Who?
Bradley.
So did Josh Reddick with his catch.
Same one.
Almost for the Astros same. Last week.
Yep. And better hitter.
Yep. Let's go to Chris, who's in Nantucket on Zion. What's up, Chris?
What's up, boys? What's up, Doug?
What's up? What are you doing in Nantucket?
We got work out here.
Nice. Blue collar.
Hey, so the Zion thing, too, let's say he goes to New Orleans. I don't like New Orleans getting the first pick. They have to take Zion. I feel like he's just going to disappear in the first 4 years as an NBA fan, I'm speaking. I want to see him primetime. I want to see him with high names. I want to see him flying. Anthony Davis is out. Chris Paul was there for a while. He was out until he went to L.A. Then it blew up. Now Anthony Davis is going to be a bigger name, I'm assuming, once he still leaves New Orleans. I just wish.
Okay.
I think if you're Zion, you're punching air right now. And I'm punching air for Zion as an NBA fan. You follow me?
And I agree with you. And you remember when Eli Manning came out, he goes, I'm not gonna play out there in San Diego?
Yeah, but
I want to go to New York. They don't have the ability to do that, the NBA. Do they do that? When's the last guy?
Definitely don't do that. I've never heard of that.
Right.
Even with the Eli thing, though, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way back then, because it was like this little kid Eli, who's calling, you know,
punk. Yeah.
But at the same time, for Zion, as an NBA guy, I just want to see. I would have loved to see that kid
in New York.
Right. And, you know, you think the NBA is rigged. You read the book by Tim Donaghy. You know stuff is going to try to go a certain way to help the team to be able to hit those shots. But, you know, it's like now you don't do it. You know, so as the NBA fan, I'm a little disappointed.
Okay, hold on.
But you know what bothered me about last night? You know what bothered me is that everyone was acting like it was New York's pick to lose.
It had 14% chance, right?
Yeah, and so did Cleveland and Phoenix.
Right.
Cleveland and Phoenix had the exact same odds of landing the number one pick.
That's why they changed it. They changed it to avoid tanking, to prevent tanking, right? This is the first year of the new rules.
If you have that belief that this thing is fixed and rigged, then they put his ass in New York, in the most marketable city. You put the biggest talent in New York. He's the new baby LeBron. He's out west. Okay, we got LeBron in L.A. Let's look at this.
It's like a baby LeBron.
Yeah.
Or they put him in L.A. with LeBron.
We don't want
KD. Kyrie go to New York.
If it was the Knicks or the Lakers, then we'd be claiming it was rigged.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it was New Orleans, and it was not one of those teams that had the 14% chance. But there were plenty of bad markets that were in the mix for that number one pick. It could have been Cleveland. It could have been Phoenix. It could have been Atlanta. Like, those markets are not, you know, premier markets where everyone desires to go. Right? Does anyone dream of being an Atlanta Hawk?
I heard an amazing stat last night. In the last 35 years, there's only been 4 number one picks to win the championship with their team that drafted them.
Oh, wow.
And David Robinson and Tim Duncan did it together.
Okay.
And LeBron and Kyrie did it together. Wow. So two teams. That's it.
Wow.
That's and they needed to have the number one pick twice to make it happen.
So number one picks are overrated.
And you know what the Pelicans have?
Rated.
They have their second number one pick, Zion, with Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Pelicans. Chris in Hartford.
Pelicans.
Chris.
Hey, morning, fellas. Hey, I'm going to go around the horn. Hardy, last night, I don't know what game you were watching, but Bradley pinched hit. He fouled off like four balls, got a walk. You said he didn't do anything. He actually started the inning in the eighth inning.
No, I thought it was interesting that they would bring him in to pinch hit. Okay, all right. Now you just keep talking. Go around the horn.
No, here we go.
It's going to be really good. I can tell.
Go, boom.
So we got Mays. We got Mays, Griffey, and Bradley actually has a better arm than both of those guys. And you gotta kind of know that what we're watching with Bradley defensively is
You're going to put his name with those two?
No,
you got a better arm than Willie Mays?
You're spitting fire.
Better arm than Willie Mays.
Go to Beetle. Go to Beetle. Go.
Go. Apologize.
Get up, Beetle. Go.
Beetle, apologize.
For what?
Sandy Leone matters. Big time. Eckersley said it. Sale said it. Porcello.
Yes.
What more do you need?
But he shouldn't. He does, but he shouldn't, is my point.
Round the horn.
One more. Then he hung up. He hung up.
Come on. Hey, show the lamp out. Let's go, boys.
He starts saying.
He definitely matters, but the point is he shouldn't matter this much. It should not matter this much. It's crazy how much he matters.
I didn't know what Mays was
talking
about.
It's absurd that mental aspect is that important to Chris Sale.
Willie Mays.
He's better than Willie Mays. That's what the caller just said. He just said that he's better.
Your boy.
Griffey.
And your boy,
he's
Griffey.
Better than Willie Mays. He might Griffey have a better Jr. arm than Griffey. Griffey didn't. Griffey had a good arm, but I don't know. Listen, Jackie Bradley Jr. has thrown some strikes from center field to home plate. I'm not gonna deny him that. Griffey had a pretty good arm. I don't know that he had as strong of an arm as Jackie Bradley Jr.
Willie Mays.
I got to go back and see a couple Willie Mays clips though.
I need some give me some Chavez
when
calls.
Caught
or
over
somebody
his shoulder and spun and just
yeah.
Throw
I mean
it back.
That's yeah. that's the yeah. famous. That is the famous clip of Willie Mays.
Sure, we have some baseball fan callers that have seen him play.
Those of you that saw Willie Mays play, if you're out there, I know that we trend a little younger on this show.
I didn't see Willie Mays play. I knew who Willie Mays was. I read a lot on him, and you learn a bunch as a kid, and he's the greatest guy to ever play it. And now I'm sitting here doing a talk show comparing this guy to him.
He didn't go Clemente, at least. That's good.
Roberto Clemente.
Or Vlad.
I know that a lot of people have talked about Dwight Evans have one of the better arms in the outfield, and that's not even a Boston thing. Like, that's a baseball thing. A lot of people regard Evans as having one of the greatest outfield arms in the last, 50 years. Griffey is regarded as having one of the better arms, though. It's not like he, is someone who didn't have a great arm. Mays is up there, though. Mays has got one of the best outfield arms ever. And we're going to say that Jackie Bradley Jr. has got a better arm than Willie Mays. I'll tell you who he definitely doesn't have a better arm than, Vlad Guerrero. Remember Vlad Guerrero's outfield arm? Holy crap. Remember the time that he threw it? I think it was Yankee Stadium. He threw it foul pole to foul pole. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's where he was when he did that.
And then he just has no wristbands, no towels, nothing. Just grips the bat, no pine tar. It's like a lumberjack.
His kid hit his first two home runs last night.
He probably cracked.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.